Hello, 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 and this is Thomas Mack again, and you're listening to Bad Actions. Full disclosure, Bad Actions, a podcast by me, for me, and, well, it's you guys can listen to it too. But it's about bad news, so please don't complain tomorrow after you listen to this about how the news isn't good. I'm a firm believer in the notion that there is no such thing as good news, and even if the Today Show keeps telling us there is, and it's about a fat man who makes cookies for first responders or some shit like that, that's not news. I'm very sorry. Plus, there's so much bad stuff going on. Why do we have to pretend like we don't care about Genghis Khan and Vladimir Putin and whoever else is out there trying to kill everyone? So let's start out there with Vladimir Putin. He was reelected. I always love how, you know, the voter turnout in Russia is over 90%. And it's kind of funny, like the lightweight political, you know, all the actors who want to get involved with politics, the first thing they say is that voter turnout is too low in the United States. For our freedom, we need to have higher voter turnout. Well, let me tell you, Russia has extremely good voter turnout. I think there's some, you know, threats of violence involved in getting the vote out in Russia, but it works. They get it, and you know, so it's if that's what you want, I guess that's what you got to do. So this idea that having more people vote, more people who don't care about politics, who don't read the newspaper, don't read news stories, you know, I don't think those people, if they don't want to vote, I say don't let them vote. You know, let them not vote. I mean, they don't have to vote. I mean, some people just don't care that much. They just want to go to work. They want to come home. They want to have hot dogs on Saturday. Then they have some beer, get drunk occasionally. I don't judge. I mean, that's good enough. They can do that. You don't have to be all preachy on them all the time. And of course, Putin was reelected by resounding margins, despite the fact that he's losing a war to a much smaller country nearby. How does he do it? Well, he does it with propaganda. He's got, he owns all the TV stations, and all the TV stations are, you know, kind of just saying he's doing a great job. So, you know, people who don't pay attention are pretty happy with him. Number two, he kills all the rivals. Like Alexei Navalny, he died in prison a week before the election. I don't think that's very suspicious. They said the report of his death was that he just dropped dead. You know, he was walking around the prison yard, and then suddenly he died. That doesn't, you know, I don't think that sounds like that's what really happened. And then they also said there was mysterious bruising on his body. Yeah, I mean, they got someone to beat the crap out of him, probably either a guard or they paid someone off who's on the inside. That's a shitty job. And, you know, there's KGB people that are in Russian prisons doing exactly those sorts of things. That's the worst KGB job you can get. I mean, I think if you join the KGB and you want the, you know, you think you're going to be like fighting James Bond and you're hanging out with all these crazy blonde bitches. And then they're like, okay, we're going to put you in prison where you're going to watch over Alexei Navalny. You're like, oh, what about James Bond? I mean, aren't we worried about James Bond? We still need to handle that guy. But, you know, very, very well done, Mr. KGB person, whoever you were that killed Alexei Navalny ahead of the election, because turnout was phenomenal, of course. The general population of Russia was terrified. And they all voted for Putin because there's literally almost no one else to vote for. One of his rival candidates, well, it was the communist candidate who looked like an old white guy with red vodka-stained cheeks and a fur hat, just like, you know, they did back in the day. So he's bringing it back. He's trying to bring it back. And then there was a genuine child molester on the ballot as well. So, you know, somehow Vlad pulled it out. And he's by the time he's done with this term, he'll have been leading Russia for 30 years. So they don't do the whole term limits thing in Russia. And anyways, it's amazing to me how many people love Russia in America these days. It's, you know, you see a lot of Russia love. And it's true that, like, there's a lot of Russian propaganda that not in a whole lot of, I mean, have you ever seen that TV channel RT? It stands for Russia Today. And back in the 90s when they first started broadcasting it here in the United States, and Russia broadcasts it, it is a Russian TV channel. And it is a Russian propaganda channel. The whole purpose is to just sort of do cover the news and then sort of offer like a little side-eyed glance at American politics, American leadership, and be like, this is mostly America's fault, by the way. But anyways, it's a pretty glossy TV channel. It's free. I mean, let's say if you stop paying your cable bill and then you have to put your rabbit ears on your TV and start getting the local broadcast channels, you don't get CBS. CBS stopped broadcasting because, I don't know, I just feel like, fuck poor people. If you're out of a job, we don't want you. Don't watch CBS. That's what CBS says. So just thanks a lot, CBS. Glad to know you have our back. But you'll get like NBC. You probably get ABC where you're at. And then you get Russia Today. You get RT. So those are like three channels you can count on. You're not going to get CBS, but you will get the Russian propaganda news channel. Big news coming out of New York. Trump lost his fraud case, and he's put up his bond for the just under $500 million penalty. And I guess it probably will be $500 million when he finally gets around to paying it, because he's going to fight it for a while. And the juice is running. That's how it works in this country. If, you know, we can always give him our time, says the credit card companies and the banks. You always got time, but the juice is running. If you want time, we want your money. So you just let it run. Let it ride, Donald. But so it just keeps going up and up and up. So that's interesting. I mean, and now on, I think it's April 15th, thereabouts, he's supposed to start his first criminal trial. So that's very exciting. That's a monumental type thing, because he's got four. So he's got to get those things busted out. It seems unlikely he's going to beat all four, but he hires the best lawyers that don't care about getting paid, because he's famous for not paying his lawyers, and he's now known to be flat broke. He recently canceled one of his rallies, I think in Arizona, because he was out of money. He couldn't pay for it. So yeah, and that's not good news for Donald Trump, because that's really where he shines when he gets in front of crackers. Let's just say it. He gets in front of a bunch of crackers and starts whooping him up with the wall, and talking about AOC. And, she's a little hottie. I get worked up when I think about AOC as well, but they get up more worked up about her in a different way. That was gross. Sorry I said that about AOC. It's just a joke, all right? It's just a joke. There's a lot of bad news. I'm trying to lighten it up a little bit. But she's attractive. I mean, let's say it. When you got like Lindsey Graham, you got, that guy from Kentucky. What's his name? Mitch McConnell, who looks like the turtle. Well, he used to look like the turtle from, like the turtle in the hair. He looks like, that, because he's very slow, but he doesn't look like that anymore. He looks super old. We talk a lot about how old Trump and Biden are, and they're old, and they look old, and they act old. Mitch McConnell's like, he looks like they're the older cousin, or maybe even their dad or something. He's like, he looks 15 years older than both of them. I don't even know what his age is, but he looks terrible. Mitch McConnell. So you put AOC in that sort of company, she kind of shines. She looks phenomenal. But anyways, she is far left. That's fine. Most young hot women are far left. I think that's pretty common. That's on the hot girl genome, I think. If you look at Trump rallies, there's usually a one good looking blonde woman in the background of Trump, but usually it's a bunch of like goofy looking white guys who are wearing a blazer many times, and look, it doesn't quite fit them right, and they don't seem that comfortable. Like this, they bought that blazer at JCPenney on the way out to the Texaco stadium to go see Donald Trump, and it just doesn't look that comfortable. This is the first time since maybe their mom's funeral that they've worn a blazer. But that's what brings out the cute girls. I mean, you put a bunch of the yokels in blazers, the women are going to turn out. They're going to want to check out. Every girl likes a guy in a blazer. I don't know why. It's a dumb look. I'm not sure why women appreciate a man in a suit as much as they do, but they do. I mean, he's a straight man. I mean, sometimes my wife asks me, like, that guy, you think he's cute? I'm like, I don't know if that guy's cute. I don't know what you're talking about. I don't think any men are cute. I don't understand how you get behind the hairy backs. You know, the guys aren't cute. There's no cute guys. The cute guys don't exist. I mean, we got hair on our faces, you know. We got hair everywhere, places there shouldn't be hair. And then as you get older, apparently, and one thing I've noticed as I've gotten older is you get better looking to women. Once you get that smell of death on you, you know, you get that kind of geriatric grayness in your beard. Oh, man, the waitress just can't stop flirting with you. I don't know what it is. And the women will say, oh, they just think you're rich. But I don't think that's it, because I don't look rich. I don't. I'm sorry. I'm not that kind of old. I just look old. But once you get that, you know, I might be dead in 10 years kind of look, suddenly, you know, you're batting way above your batting average when you're in your 20s. It's strange, but true. But anyway, so Trump is in so much legal trouble, he's had to cancel some political rallies. That's very sad. I think that's probably what keeps him up at night. Also, like, Melania's MIA. She doesn't come out anymore. She was a little pissed when he won the first time. You know, she had moved to the White House for like 6 months. And when asked why, you know, she couldn't come to the White House, it was barren. I could take care of my son. I don't know. I mean, none of the other president's wives ever said, like, oh, I can't move to the White House. I got to take care of, you know, my two daughters. You know, they all just, they're big house. It's a big house. You know, there's enough room for kids there. And, you know, there's a bowling alley. I mean, kids like to bowl. I think Barack Obama put in a basketball court. I mean, that place is, it's a mansion. It's the White Mansion. It's not the White House anymore. The place rocks. And, you know, of course, there's like the sub-basements and the bomb shelter, and you get the access to the jet. Kids want to live in the White House, but, you know, Melania, she could, oh, I have to live with Barron in New York City in my penthouse. I can't. She does sound like Count Dracula sometimes. She's, it's kind of funny. You know, I don't know why people don't talk about it more, but it, you know, they say she's Slovenian. She's obviously Transylvanian. It's, she's not, you know. But Jill she's got her problems as well. Jill Biden, you know, if we're going to dish on some first lady age, train your dog, Jill. How about that? You know, they got that big German shepherd looking butt. And I'm sure, I mean, I love dogs. I'm a dog person. I love all animals. But this is a pretty burly looking dog. You wouldn't want this dog coming at you with, you know, with the tooth side coming at you, you know, quickly and aggressively. And that's what's been happening. I guess the dog can tell when you've got you know, major security clearance and murderous training, like a lot of the Secret Service people do. I mean, Secret Service guys, they're potentially very violent dudes with good reason, because their job is basically to tear the arms off of any potential assassins, the President of the United States. I remember they used to show these like pictures of Barack Obama's security team, because he was the first black president. You know, everybody kind of thought some cracker's going to try to get a shot off at him. And these guys were huge, and they just looked angry. They just looked, these are the type of big, you know, burly, blonde, you know, menacing looking dudes in the back of a van, like crammed into a van. There'd be like 20 of them in a van following Barack around. And they just seemed, it must have been disappointing, because they never got to tear anybody's arms off. I mean, it didn't happen. Nobody, I mean, Barack Obama was such an amiable kind of laid back guy, you know, that I guess he didn't make enough white, you know, militants angry enough to try to kill him. So the Secret Service agents, they're probably just, they have all this pent up rage from the Barack Obama administration, two administrations ago, just not being able to kill anybody like they'd hoped to during Barack's administration. And, you know, Major, the Biden's dog, who Jill apparently doesn't train and needs to be taken for a walk, and taught all the sitting and staying and other things that dogs need to learn, because he's been just like, he's chewing up the Secret Service, man. They're getting holes in him. That's a big dog, Biden's. You know, I love dogs too. Got to take that dog to a class, all right? You know, it's not okay. The Secret Service are going to get tired of protecting your ass and might just let someone get through if you keep, you know, letting Major, you know, use the Secret Service agents as chewing toys. So, yeah, there's the first trial is set to start on April 15th. And they say the judge is already pissed off. He's so, I think, so angry at Trump's lawyers because they're always just like trying to delay. Trump's whole defense for everything is he's going to delay. Hopefully, cross his fingers, he becomes president again. And then he's just going to cancel all the cases. And at that point, he has to be president for the rest of his life, which means he has to like get rid of. So he's going to be emperor. I mean, he's not going to let himself come out of the White House again, because as soon as he comes out of the White House, he'll be under arrest again and charged, and he's going to jail. I mean, the upshot of most of the legal analysis of the cases is that, oh yeah, they got him, you know. I mean, they got Michael Cohen, who did time for Trump and then promptly got fucked over by Trump as a witness on this hush money. The case is basically before 2016, years before that, he had sex with a porn star, Stormy Daniels, and a Playboy model, and you know, political commentaries like define them loosely as like lovers or girlfriends, or it was a tryst. It's not a tryst. This was paid services. But anyway, so and then when he decided to be president, he was like, "Oh, I gotta pay these women off so they don't tell on me." And it's surprising. There must have been more. But anyways, these are the two that came to the front. You know, so he paid him off, and apparently the going rate for that is $130,000, because both of them got $130,000, and he brought the checks himself, he moves money around, he's got his fingerprints all over this shit, and Michael Cohen is a witness, and if you know anything about Michael Cohen, he is super pissed off at Trump, and he's ready to spill all the beans. He's just going to let it all fly. Cause you know, he's doing all the TV appearances he can, because he's just so fucking angry. He did time for Donald Trump and then, you know, he's probably gotten fucked over by him 27 different ways. Donald Trump hates him, can't stop maligning him and calling him a liar, which he is. He perjured himself. Michael Cohen did. I'm sure Trump has as well, but, Michael Cohen is convicted of perjury. So, we know that he's a perjurer, but, you know, so he's a liar, but, you know, he's also a very angry liar because he was Trump's fixer. You know, it's like one of those mobster movies where, you know, rich guy's got a fixer. And that means like, if Donald Trump accidentally murdered somebody, he'd call Michael Cohen. Michael Cohen come and bring like all kinds of plastic sheets and wrap up the body and then file all kinds of legal motions to get Trump off the hook for murder. That's, you know, fixers are, these are not, you know, for like, you know, cleaning up household problems or like doing legitimate business work. Fixers do like the rough stuff. It's, you know, mobsters, like I said, generally have fixers. I don't know what a businessman is doing with a fixer. He does talk like a mobster, Donald Trump, though. But he pretends like he's a mobster. And part of that is having a need for a fixer. And it's kind of interesting. He's got like this mob persona. He's always talking really tough. And then he golfs like every other day. Mobsters don't golf, Donald. That's not a mob thing. It's a very like rich, effete, white thing. I golf. I like golfing. But, you know, it's got a certain ethos, you know. I don't wear polo shirts every day, but you know, if I go golfing, maybe I'll bust one out, especially if I'm probably going to a nice place. It's, you know, it's preppy. It's very, very preppy sport. So it doesn't really jibe with the whole, I'm a murderer kind of jawing that you're always doing, Donald. Donald's also accused, and this is not a crime, but it's silly, of pumping up his golfing resume, where he keeps telling people he wins all kinds of golfing trophies. They're always at his clubs. And, you know, places that he owns. I mean, not his golf clubs, but his golf clubs, the clubs that the golf courses that he owns. And so, you know, he's got an inside game, and he's a known golf cheat. Like, he's not afraid of, like, just kicking the ball back on the fairway, which I do, but I don't claim to be a good golfer. I'm a duffer. I stink, you know. I will never spend a lot of money on a set of golf clubs because it's a bad investment. I'm losing money if I spend a lot of money on golf clubs. But anyways, Donald Trump, I'm sure, has the best golf clubs in the world, and he sucks at golfing, apparently. But he cheats, and he cheats a lot. Everybody who plays with him says this. But anyways, when he has these tournaments, he does very well, and he wins them. A lot of times, there's only one person signed up. It's Donald Trump. And a lot of times, some of the sports analysts say they don't even think these tournaments even happened. So, you know, like a lot of things with Donald Trump, there's not truth. It's no truth behind that. He's not a good golfer. He cheats a lot. I remember one time he was like tweeting about some politics, and then he said, "Oh, and I just got a hole in one." I mean, he can't stop bragging. He's just that guy. Anyways, very annoying. But I don't think I could, you know, a lot of people say that Donald Trump's a really nice guy. And like if you know him, you know, like he's not a nice guy. He's a real bear when his persona, like his political persona, is I'm real badass. But I guess, yeah, you know, a friend of mine says he worked for Trump for a long, and they say, oh, he's very personable, he's very nice. I don't think I could hang out with him. I don't think I could be friends with Donald Trump. He's just such a braggart. You know what I mean? That irritates me. I don't like the whole name droppy kind of game. In fact, like I make it a point, like if I know any famous people, I don't mention them. I don't like to do that. It just seems weak. I don't know. But anyways, so this case is starting April 15th. It's coming up. It's going to be very exciting. So Michael Cohen's going to be spilling some tea about his old boss. And so, in fact, is Stormy Daniels. She's going to testify. And one of the best things about it is she's already been outspoken about, like, the quality of the lovemaking and the size of the package, which both were unfulfilling, I guess, is the way she's described Trump's equipment and also his ability to impress a lady in the sack. So she was impressed with the money, apparently. She took the $130,000. That must have been pretty impressive. You know, a friend of mine used to always say that he'd like to marry George Soros, and then every morning he'd wake up next to him, roll over, and go, boo! You know, just try to... I mean, I get it. You know, it'd be nice to have a shortcut to wealth. Obviously, this podcasting business for me is, it's not that I'm not getting rich, but it's fun. I enjoy it. I enjoy the anger responses. I enjoy the well, that's it. I like making people angry, I guess. But so that'll be like a first that ever. I mean, this case is going to be the most amazing case ever, because it's all going to be about Donald Trump getting his pee-pee wet and then getting caught and then doing some financial crimes to try to cover it up. I don't know why. You know, he's always talking about how rich he is. You know, like he talks about he's got like $400 million just laying around the house. You know, he has incredible liquidity, he says. Well, you know, now he's got like, you know, about $600 million in legal fees already, and he's telling people he can't pay him. You know, he can't pay. Well, which is it? Do you got the money or you don't got the money? But, you know, so this is a guy that has $400 million just laying around in liquid funds. And when it comes time to bribe Stormy Daniels and Karen McDougal, the Playboy model, he has to embezzle it from his own company and move some shit around and do some shady deals to get the money out. It don't make no sense. Those things don't go together. If you got the money, why don't you just cut a check and be done with it, you know, or just, you know, blast him some money out of a shell company. How do you have to commit, if you got all this cash, how do you have to commit crimes to just pay off some, you know, a little $130,000 bill, you know? That shit should be easy. But So that's what happened. And apparently, bribery is still a crime in the United States, and so is financial malfeasance. So that will be, and from what the lawyers say, the evidence is all there. You know, it's just like as clear as freaking day. So he's going to get up there and he's going to pontificate, and oh man, the judge is going to just going to unleash on him. So it'll be some pretty good TV, I think. It's going to be, however you feel about Donald Trump, obviously, I don't really appreciate him very much. I kind of hate him, but, you know, that's me. You don't have to hate him. You can like him, you know, but, anyways, it'll be interesting. And then after that, there's some talk about launching the stealing the election case in Atlanta, Georgia. That case, recently started moving again, after being paused, but it can't start until this, bribery case is over in New York. Some estimates might take a month, month and a half. So maybe June, we'll get off a second criminal case after against Trump. So just stay tuned. I think it's going to be a pretty exciting summer, a summer like no other. I mean, we might have to stay home from the beach some Wednesdays and watch. You know, Fox News or CNN to watch the play-by-plays of these insane trials that are going to be going on. I might have to miss the opening day of baseball to try to take all this crap in. Probably not. I'll probably go to the baseball game. But anyways, plenty of bad news. Oh, another thing. Vladimir Putin is threatening World War III again. So that's just happening over in Ukraine. He's been talking tough. So that's some bad news as well. But this has been Bad Actions. I'm glad you took the time to join me. I hope you enjoyed it. Feel free to email and let me know if you have any tips, complaints, or ideas for my next show. This is Thomas Mack, and this has been Bad Actions.